produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, a very warm welcome to all of you out there, beloveds. I don't know what season you are in, but I am so grateful because here in South Africa, we are just entering into a season of spring. It is September the 4th today, and we are entering. Spring Day was actually on the first day of September officially, and it is so exciting to come out of winter. It has been a hard winter. It has been a cold winter, but we're grateful. Every season has its purpose. So whether we like it or not, whether we are comfortable with the discomfort that some seasons may bring, let's know that every season has its purpose. And so we are grateful for every season, but I am particularly grateful for the season of spring because it's been a long, hard, cold winter. And so we welcome spring, and may you also see a new spring season also be reflected in your spiritual life. That's my prayer for you and I, that we will be beneficiaries of a new season, a new great season in Yeshua. Isaiah 43:19, may that be your portion, may that be your experience in this time. You know, that's the scripture that says, behold, see, I do a new thing. God says, I will do a new thing. So trust God to do it, because sometimes we try too hard in the flesh to push in our own carnal strength and forgetting that it's God who said he will do the new thing. I will do a new thing. And God talks about, it's one of my favorite scriptures. It's a very prophetic scripture. It's loaded with prophetic grace. And I speak it often, but God says also in that scripture, not only will he do the new thing, he says he will take us out of the wilderness. And the wilderness, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing because it's a place where you can grow. God allows us to go through wilderness experiences so that we can grow. Yeshua himself had to experience the wilderness. He went there for 40 days. And when he came out, he was able to, you know, confront the enemy. So it's a time of strengthening. It's a time of growing. It's a time of character growth and development so that you can be empowered for the kingdom task and the kingdom assignment that lies ahead. That's exactly what was happening with Yeshua. Holy Spirit led him into that time of wilderness so that he could be empowered for victory, empowered for kingdom assignment. So let's not despise the time of wilderness, but just let's just appreciate them as times of growth. And embrace the growth that God wants us to get through those wilderness times. And then God says he'll bring us out of the wilderness, and then he'll bring us to a place where rivers and streams can come out. You know, the desert is not necessarily a place of rivers and streams, but God says, I'll pull you out of that wilderness. And then now rivers and streams will flow, will begin to flow. And so in this new season, that's my prayer for you. And I pray for you that God will open up the eyes of your understanding to see the new thing that he's doing for you, that he's doing for your family, that he's doing in your nation and around you, around your community. May your eyes be open to see that new thing and to connect to that new thing in the matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, today I am privileged once again to share the Word of God, which is strengthening and empowering. And my goodness, do we, if we ever needed a time of strengthening, it is now, where we are still seeing nations under lockdown because of the COVID challenges and all of those things. But thank God that we are strengthened by His Word. And that's why it's always a privilege to bring that Word, which will strengthen and which will empower us. And you know, today I want to talk to us about encounters. And especially, you know, the word I'm going to use is experience, having an experience, because there are experiences that we will all go through in life. People sometimes use the word encounter. I'm going to use the word experience. Because number one, there's some things that happen to us. And as a result, there's a trigger effect. There's a domino effect that happens as a result of our experiences. So how we process those experiences is very, very important. It's of critical importance to us, how we process every experience. The first thing I want to say is that an experience, or if you want to use the word encounter, an experience changes you. You cannot have an experience and remain the same. There must be a visible change, and there must be some evidence, some as we say in law, an exhibit A. When we produce evidence before the court, we name it and we label the evidence, the hard, tangible evidence. We call them exhibit A's. So there must be an exhibit A or an exhibit B or C or D of your experience, of the fact that you've had an encounter. So an encounter or an experience, it will change you. You cannot have an experience and remain the same. There must be a visible change. And we've seen that in the life of Paul, for instance. Paul had an encounter. He had an experience, a Damascus experience. He had his own personal testimony. After that, he was forever changed. He met Yeshua on the road to Damascus and was forever changed. He was never the same. That's why I say you cannot have an experience or encounter and remain the same. So Paul, we've seen him and his experience, which left him unmistakably and remarkably changed. Moses also, we've seen that he had experiences, he had encounters, not just one, but you know, a number of them. He had an encounter with God, an experience with the burning bush, you know, and we know that, you know, oftentimes he would go and seek God on the mountain and come back shining, his faith shining with God's glory. It was such an experience and such an encounter that it resulted in even the physical change. He was physically transformed. His face, his visage, his form was changed because of the experience that he had with God. And we know that Jacob was somebody else who also had an encounter, at least one, or an experience with God. And he's one who's known for having wrestled with God. And that wrestling encounter or experience was an experience that forever changed his life, forever changed the path that he was taking, forever changed his journey, forever changed his destiny in Yeshua. It was an encounter that even resulted in a name change. So his name was changed from Jacob, which means thief or con man, or, you know, one who doesn't deal legally. His name was changed from that, and it was changed to now Israel. Israel, after wrestling with God, after experiencing God, he had a name change. But the name change also resulted in an identity change. His identity now was in Yeshua. And the million-dollar question I want to ask and throw out to each and every one of us out there is, Who have you had an encounter with? Who have you had an encounter with? It's important for us to have encounters with the King, with the King of Kings. May you and I have encounters with the King, encounters that will forever change us, encounters that will bring a difference, encounters that will make a difference in our lives. That's my prayer. is that we will have those experiences and we will have those encounters that will cause us to meet with the King and forever change our lives for the better, forever change our lives to ensure that our lives are now aligned to our kingdom purpose, aligned to our kingdom assignments. May that be what we have, that experience, that encounter, may it be so in our lives. Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite scriptures you always hear me citing, is seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. It means have an encounter with Him. Seek Him so that you can encounter Him. Seek Him so that you can experience Him in your life. Experience God. Seek after Him so you can experience Him. And after that, your experience with Him will now enable you to walk in righteousness, because by the power of the Spirit of God in you, you can now walk in righteousness, not by your own strength, but by the Spirit of God in you, which will cause you to walk in righteousness, and all things will now be added to you and I. So an encounter or an experience changes us. It changes us, forever. It is an unmistakable change that happens in our lives. And we've seen how different people, individuals in the Bible had experiences and encounters with God. Paul, Moses, Jacob are a few that we've mentioned. And we know that we need to have that experience. But we said that an encounter will change you, but it changes us so that we can now change others, bring change to others. God can use us as a vessel, use us as an instrument, use us as that individual, use us as a vessel of change, a vessel of transformation, to bring transformation in our communities and wherever we go. So an experience or an encounter is there to change us first and foremost, because you cannot change others. You cannot facilitate change to others when you yourself remain unchanged. So it brings change to us in every area. And after we are changed, now we are now sent out there. God says, go ye into the world, disciple nations. So make nations also have an encounter. Go ye and be a vessel and an instrument of change to cause nations to know their redemptive purpose so that they may encounter change as well. So an encounter or an experience is there to change us, and also so that we can facilitate change and we can become the change. We can be the change. And just a testimony of your encounter is not enough. We must demonstrate the fact that we've had an experience, and that it is an experience that has forever changed us. So an encounter will cause you to change the atmosphere. It causes you to change the atmosphere. This is what happens when we've had an encounter, beloveds. We become atmosphere changers. You cannot enter into an atmosphere or an environment and not bring change. So this is why we need to have encounters, so that we can now bring change to the atmosphere, because God has called us to be salt. And salt is definitely an agent of change. Salt is something that brings flavor. And God has said that we are the light. When light encounters darkness, or when darkness encounters light, should I say, darkness must flee. Darkness must flee, or darkness must be forever changed. So darkness cannot encounter light and not be changed. And we are called to be the light. We are called to be the salt. We are called to, after our encounters, after our experiences, we are called to bring change. Change not just to our families, but changes to the community, changes to the nation, changes to our generation. After the experience and encounter with God, we cannot help but bring change. It makes us the salt and the light. It causes us to occupy and do business until He comes. It causes us to take authority and to walk in dominion. Hallelujah. And what I want to encourage you to in this time is to say purpose to have more than one encounter. So many people dwell on the fact that they had an encounter or an experience with God. I mean, my first experience with God was in 1983, January 1983, which is my first real encounter with Him when I got saved. But we shouldn't leave it to one encounter in our lives. My encounter with Yeshua was 38 years ago, but we should purpose to have many encounters in our lives. We should seek, if you're seeking after the kingdom and you're seeking after the King of Kings, our encounters should be an occurrence, a consistent and repetitive occurrence in our lives. In fact, we should be getting accustomed to having daily encounters, daily experiences of God. It may not be the same as when you got saved. It may not be the road to Damascus experience, but anytime you read the word, it should be an encounter. Every time you pray to God, that should be an experience. Every time we pray, every time we meditate, every time we worship, that is an experience, experiencing God. So let's not see an encounter or an experience as being one just time that we look back on, but let's inculcate it as a daily lifestyle where we know that this morning when you wake up and get out of your bed, that I'm going to experience God in a new way. I'm going to experience God in a revelatory way today, that I will have a series of encounters even in this one day. Let's look for those times of encounters and experiencing God throughout the day, even in the night when you're sleeping. It is possible to encounter God because your body may be sleeping, your physical body, but your spirit remains alive. And it is possible to encounter and experience God even in times of sleep as we're dreaming. Joseph dreamt. He was dreaming, and in his dream, he was experiencing God when he woke up. So we can encounter and experience God even as we sleep through dreams. But let's pursue encounters and experiences with God every day. Let's look for those experiences every day, every day going throughout the day. Let's not just try and park them there and say it's for a special occasion. Let's be expectant in our hearts. Let's be expectant and filled with hope that every day will be a day of encountering and experiencing God, experiencing the revelation of His word, experiencing His presence, experiencing Him speaking to us. Let us pursue encounters and experiences in Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Purpose to have more than one encounter. Purpose to have more than one experience. Moses had more than one experience. He had the Mount Sinai experience. He had the burning bush experience. He had several experiences in God. And today I want us to specifically be encouraged to have encounters so we can go out there. May we have encounters. And today I want to talk to even people who are called to the marketplace, ministers in the marketplace. May you have encounters for the marketplace that will bring change and transformation to the marketplace. Joseph and Daniel, who were so, you know, powerfully used in the marketplace, they had encounters. Joseph had a dream, which now downloaded a marketplace strategy. So encounters are not just so that we can go and worship in a building on Sundays, but so that we can bring tangible change even to the marketplace. Through Joseph's dream, which was an encounter and a mighty encounter and experience with God, Joseph was able to bring viable and tangible and sustainable change to the marketplace. So when we in this season, let us rise up knowing and trusting God that we will have that experience. We will have that encounter with God that will cause us to bring sustainable kingdom change into the marketplace. So there are, you know, five things I want to talk about that when we have an encounter that will enable us to actually bring change to the marketplace. Five things. So when we have dreams and when we have an experience, those experiences, you know, must be experiences where we can connect to the Spirit of God, because it is Spirit-filled encounters. It is Spirit-filled experiences that enable us now to bring change into the marketplace. So our experiences, when they're spirit-filled, they now are able to download strategy, give us direction, give us plans of how to go. So spirit-filled dreams, spirit-filled experiences will now enable us to come up with a strategy. Not an ordinary strategy, but a kingdom of God strategy, a strategy that is kingdom aligned, a strategy that supports the worldview and the perspective of the Word of God, of the Bible, of the kingdom, and supports the kingdom agenda. So spirit-filled encounters, spirit-filled experiences produce a strategy. A strategy that is kingdom aligned, a strategy of the kingdom perspective, and a strategy that will substitute all the worldly strategies, all the worldly plans. It is a strategy that substitutes, where it brings a different type of thinking, not aligned to the worldly way of thinking, but aligned to the kingdom way of thinking, so that our behaviors are changed and aligned. It is a strategy that impacts and affects systems and structures. So it is spirit-filled, it produces strategy, it substitutes, and it impacts on systems and structures. Also, when we've had an encounter and an experience, not only produces that type of strategy that substitutes, that type of strategy that affects, you know, structures and system, but it also brings solutions. It brings forth a strategy, kingdom strategy, that brings forth solutions that will change culture and will change behavior. And lastly, you know, that spirit-filled encounter that we have every day, pursuing them every day, it not only produces strategies that will substitute, but strategies that will bring solutions, affect structures and systems, and is also sustainable. It is sustainable in Him, sustainable in God. Hallelujah. So I just want to just encourage you and I, this was really around encounters, to say, let us pursue God. Let us pursue Him every day. Let us seek after the King of Kings. Seek after the kingdom, pursue the kingdom. What is it that you're pursuing that is a hindrance, that is stopping you from encountering God in a greater measure? What is it that you are pursuing that is stopping you or hindering you from really having that great experience? There are things in our lives, beloveds, that are encounter killers, that are experience killers. There are some things that we pursue after. What are you watching on TV? It may be an encounter killer. What are you reading, in the magazines? That may be an experience killer. There may be things that are, you know, renewing our minds in a wrong way. So let us interrogate our eye gates. Let us interrogate what we are watching, what we are seeing, because some of the things we are watching and some of the things we are seeing may actually be interfering with our ability to experience God in a deeper measure, in a deeper dimension, to go deeper in our experiences with God. They may be a hindrance to us. So let us interrogate some of our lifestyle behaviors to make sure that they are not interfering with our ability to go deeper into a daily and renewed experience with God in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So we've talked about that we need to pursue encounters, not just as a one-time experience, but as a daily experience, where encounters and experience become a normal thing in our life. You know, it's part of our lifestyle. Encounters become regular. Encounters are consistent. Encounters become a part of our daily life, where we experience and encounter God. We look for that encounter. We look for that experience through the searching His word, through worshiping, through meditating. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to just encourage you today to, you know, be encouraged to experience God at a greater dimension. Sometimes as believers, especially if you've been, you know, saved for a very long time, your life starts to get mundane. Your life starts to get kind of very prescriptive, where you just do A, B, C, D. And we're not looking for those new experiences. We're not looking for those new encounters. We're not looking for those daily encounters. It's those daily experiences with God that will refresh us. It's those daily experiences with God that will renew us. It's those daily experiences and encounters with God that will strengthen us Strengthen us and strengthen our spirit, man, and strengthen us in everything we have. It's those daily experiences that will strengthen us to pursue God and strengthen us to run the race, that we will not quit the race. We will not faint. We will not grow weary, but we will walk and not faint. We will run and not grow weary, and we will finish our race, and we will finish strong in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. It is those encounters and those daily experiences with God that will ensure that we finish strong in Him. We finish strong in Him. We live and move and have our being. So my prayer for you is that may you encounter Him not just once in your lifetime, but may you encounter Him personally, not live off the encounters and the experiences of other people. May you encounter Him personally, and may you encounter Him consistently and regularly, so that the experiences that you have with God are daily experiences, experiences that will strengthen you, experiences that will renew you, experiences that will refresh you, experiences that will restore you, experiences that will bring recovery and restoration into your life. This is my prayer for you, that the encounters and experiences that you have daily will ensure that God brings out a strategy in you, and that that strategy brings solutions, and that strategy brings solutions that that will align with the kingdom structure, and that strategy is sustainable in you, and that strategy will impact and affect systems and structures. Because why? Because you've encountered God, you've experienced God, and because you've experienced Him, you have not only been changed, but your life has been changed, your family around you has been changed. And God is now using you to change communities, to change societies, to change the sectors in the marketplace, to change the nation, and even beyond, to change the nations, to change Jerusalem, to change Judea, to change Samaria, and even the uttermost parts, as God has said. So go out there and look for more encounters in Him. If you are a believer, look for more encounters with Him. Look for more experiences with Him. Make it something that you pursue on a daily basis. If you are not a believer, then I encourage you, if you by chance happen to be listening to this message, the greatest encounter, the greatest experience you will ever have is experiencing God. I took that decision 38 years ago in January 1983. I encountered God. I experienced Him, and I've never looked back. So just, you know, if you are not a believer, my prayer for you is that you will lift up your arms right now and confess Yeshua as Lord in your life. Confess that you are a sinner and that Yeshua is Lord of your life. Confess and allow Him to take over your life and submit your life to Him, and ask the Lord to wash and cleanse your sins, make you clean, make you whole, so that you now can be an ambassador of change. You now can be a somebody who will now, having encountered Him, will facilitate change and bring change in others' lives, and bring change in your nations, in your community. That is my prayer for you. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I look forward to sharing the word of God with you again next week on our beautiful, wonderful radio program. Take care, and God richly bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, 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 hello. The voice of Apostle Josh Moyo on SKM, our radio studio, with Kayla Paget, our co-producer, and Shimikoto Ministries International Radio Network. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. Coming to you, we are sharing once again the voice of your destiny. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The story that we know, some of you already know. I love the story of David. David is now standing before Saul. His authority, his power, his experience is under question. His authority and his power, his ability is under questioning. There is a giant standing on the other mountain, part of the mountain. The champion is a 3 meters tall champion. Champion is a great enemy to the successes of God's people. The champion is military trained. The champion is well armored. The champion on an elevated position is talking. On the other mountain, the children of Jesse were serving in the army under Saul. They are afraid. Well armed, well equipped, well trained, they are afraid. Not only are they afraid, well armed, well trained, well equipped, they're running away. Ladies and gentlemen, and are with me as we get into this, because this is a very important as part of our life as we walk with God. They are standing on a mountain, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. Goliath is standing on the mountain. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. As they are standing on the mountain, the children of Israel, the army of Israel, the trained of Israel, the only difference, while is they are standing on the same position, a position of power, a position of authority, a position that is elevated, which is the mountaintop, they are running away. And Goliath is not running away from them. You can always know how the story is gonna end. Not necessarily by where you are positioned, but by how your condition affects your position, both spiritually and emotionally. Because they are well armed, that's the king of Israel, they are well equipped, they are well trained. What's the difference then? They are running away in fear. Goliath, on the other side, is armed, is equipped, is trained, but he's not running away. Very important principle for you and I to catch as we endow together in this powerful, powerful story. The profoundness of the simplicity of this story is designed to teach you and I what will cause defeat in your life. It is how your mind is conditioned, even though you are positionally fixed in the right place. If Jesus said you are the light of the world, and the light of the world does not work their purpose, their duty of being the light of the world and in the world, then your light is useless. You are the light of the world. And Jesus qualifies what the light of the world does, because no one lights a candle and puts it under the bed. Get it? Because it will still be light, but the same light can become a distraction under the bed. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus utters. But your saltiness, if it is just by way of color, white, yet is not severing, flavoring where it is supposed to pour flavor and preserve as a preservative, as salt does, it's good for nothing, Jesus says. Get the point. Standing on the mountain for the children of Israel's army. Will not help them win the victory. Knowing what to say where they are standing will give them victory or defeat. Let the redeemed of the Lord, not just the redeemed, but let the redeemed of the Lord say. So the answer is in making sure that whatever you say is incongruent with who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us in our story something very key. Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. That alone will send me home way before I even see the giant." David says to Saul, remember, the power is in what you say. I'm reading 1 Samuel 17, verse 33 and 34. David said unto Saul, "Your servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion, a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, you will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, the Lord be with thee." Saul armed David with his armor. You just said, "Go, the Lord be with thee." But you are now giving him your staff of failure, your staff of inferiority, your staff that made you to stuff it. Ha! Your staff that failed in the battle, your staff that did not win the battle, your staff that made you a king without a throne. You arm David with his armor. After David has said, "I killed a lion without your armor. I killed a bear without your armor." Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head, armed with a coat of mail, which would have been exactly what that other shenanigan was having, which was the champion Goliath. Verse 39, David girded his sword upon his armor. attempted to go, for he had not proved it. David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. David, thank you. Because David is designed to teach you and me the power of not or never trying to be what you are not. The power and the authority of never wanting to be what God has not created you to be, of never trying to be a worshiper yet you're a preacher, of never trying to be a communicator yet you were meant to be an intercessor, of never trying to be working in the gifts of help yet your area is administration. Oh, I pray that the Davids in our time will be able to put off Saul's armor and take on that which God has given them. 40. He took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which had even in his grip. His sling was in his hand. They drew near to the Philistine. What others are running away from, David is running towards. I want to repeat verse 40. And I wanted to see what the Bible is saying there. Something very important. He took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag. What I wanted to find out there as we continue, my dear listener, is the fact that when he took his staff, very important for you to know, it was not borrowed. His staff. My prayer to God is you will understand your only win battles when you pick up on what is yours. The battles that are assigned to your destiny, they have their weapons or the tools assigned for that destiny. He took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in his crib. And his sling was in his hand. Samuel is not just playing with words here. His staff in his hand. Chose for him. Not chosen for him. Chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. His sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistines. When I took my staff in my own hands, when I chose 5 stones out of the brook, when I put them, work them, serve in that anointing, do the work of the ministry in the shepherd's bag that was in a scrip, his sling in his hand, he drew near to the Philistines. My prayer is today, what lessons are we learning from this story? Go in this thy might. Don't go in the disguise of somebody else. Don't go and fight under the pretense of that which God has not made you to be. Don't go and face your enemy through the past experiences and the archaic moves of God. We cannot continue, ladies and gentlemen, therefore, to talk about the past moves of what God did and what God used to do. The Welsh revivals and the Oral Roberts revivals and the Azusa Street revivals, they were good, tailored for the Seymours. But what God is saying in the 21st century, pick up your sling. Take your stuff, not the world stuff, not religious stuff. Take your stuff that is tried and tested. Go with that. I send you forth, therefore, in this weekend, that as you stand to minister the word of God tomorrow, as you stand to minister the word of God other days, as you stand to minister the word of God, may you always remember what will give us victory. It is not doing, carrying somebody else's assignment, but it is me standing on the authority of what God has enabled me to do and to be. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 41 says, the Philistine came on. Watch. Drew near to David, and the man that bore the shield went before him. I'd never noticed that in verse 41, that saw the Philistine, his armor is also heavy for him. Hence, he has an aid, he has a help. There is a boy that has no name, that is carrying the shield, which is a piece of armor meant to protect your chest. A piece of armor that is meant to protect you from the fiery darts when they're fired at you. David is alone. He doesn't go with Saul. He doesn't go with Saul's armor. He doesn't go with Saul's boys. He's alone. But watch, he's not alone. Ha! Looks like he's alone, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and of a fair countenance. There is a handsomeness, there is an anointing, there is a grace, there is a favor that God has poured over your life and over my life, that makes us, when we stand before the enemy, our countenance is shining. We are fair, we are ruddy, we are young, we are youth. Ah, I write unto you, John says, to you who are young, because you have got strength and you've got authority. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel that God is endowing the church with a blanket, a protection cover of our youthfulness. That is why he says you renew your life like that one of an eagle, and you become like a youth. The Bible says, verse 43, the Philistine say to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Mistake number one. And the Philistine say to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David say to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Good move, David. I'll come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Good move, David. And I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, of the armies whom you have defied. David knows how to speak, because, ladies and gentlemen, in matters of warfare, it is always important for you to know that we don't win our battles against the enemy because of our experience, because of our education, because of our degree, because of our diplomas, because of our communication skills because of our eloquence, but we win the battle set against us in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day, watch what David is saying. The Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will smite you. I will take your head from you. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I want to repeat slowly verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver me into your hand. I will smite you and I will take your head from you. And I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines. I will take your head from you. You don't have a sword, David. You've forgotten. I will take your head from you. David, you are not carrying the sword. You remember, Saul wanted to give you one. He offered you one and you said, no, I will take off your head from you. Why would you say that, David? Because David knows that the strategy in winning in this kingdom, God has not changed. He will use whatever was meant to destroy you for you to use it against your enemy. I declare, therefore, that pain, that worry, that anxiety, that sleepless nights that you've been having over your life, that depression that has been attacking you, may the Lord use it for your own good, as he uses for you to rise up and begin to heal others. Because those that have been wounded the most, they understand the power of what works over their lives, whether be it paracetamol that healed them or messenger that healed them. You and I, the name of Jesus Christ, he is the Lord that heals, that delivers, that sets free. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you, my title, sorry, which I'm giving you now at the end as I close. My title is Go in Your Might, Not in Anyone Else's Strength. Go in that which God has given you. Peter and John, silver and gold, because silver and gold has got an image on that inscription, and that image is the image of Caesar. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we say, rise up and walk. And the cripple walked. Moses, go take the rod that is in your hand and I will do miracles with it. And yes, Moses, if you walk with me, the power and authority is not really in that rod, because that rod represented your authority, your strength and your weapon. But I'm wanting to understand that actually it's no longer Moses' rod, but it is now my rod, because at the end of the day, it all depends in whose hands it is in. Serena Williams, with a tennis racket, she's a world champion. Because it all depends, ladies and gentlemen, in whose hands it finds itself in. Moses, go. Abraham, take your wife, leave everything, go. Out of your country, out of your kindred, out of your tribesmen, go. Leave everything and go to the land that I will show you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we only prosper when we go in the power of that which God has given us. Lot, get out of Sodom. Yes, I know you had a beautiful house, beautiful gardens. You are living there. High scrapers, that's what attracted you anyway before you entered into Sodom and Gomorrah. But get out, because all that is debris. It is materialistic and it's about to burn. Go, get out, get out, get out, get out. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a level of you and I understanding. We only prosper when we depend on that which God has given us. Gideon! It is not with 32,000. It is not with the 22,000. It is with the 300. With the 300. With the 300. Rise up, mighty men of valor. With the 300, you shall defeat 135,000 Midianites. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, when I look at your situation, when you look at your situation, when you look at my situation, the odds are quite clear that you are not going to win. But I'm here to say to you, arise and begin to trust what God is able to do. Don't use what belongs to others, but go in the might that God has given you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.